Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Well, after days in a Moscow airport transit area, Edward Snowden broke his silence through a statement issued by WikiLeaks. Now, part of his statement reads as follows: the Obama administration has now adopted a strategy of using citizenship as a weapon. Although I am convicted of nothing, it has unilaterally revoked my passport, leaving me a stateless person. Without any judicial order, the administration now seeks to stop me exercising a basic right, a right that belongs to everybody, the right to seek asylum. And that's the end of Ed Snowden's statement through WikiLeaks. Now, Snowden, who remains in that transit area in the Moscow airport, as I mentioned, has abandoned his request for asylum in Russia. This is after Russian President Vladimir Putin said asylum would only be granted if Snowden ceases leaking classified information against the United States. Listen.
If he wants to stay here, there is one condition. He must stop his activities aimed at inflicting damage on our American partners, no matter how strange it may sound coming from my lips.
Meanwhile, it doesn't seem like Edward Snowden is out of options. The president of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro, is in Russia right now, and he says he's not yet received an application requesting asylum from Snowden, but keeping open the possibility of granting such status to the leaker. It's all getting rather twisted on the world stage. For more, we're joined now by Ellen Berry, Moscow bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times. Hi, Ellen.
Hi.
Well, Ed Snowden remains in the transit area, as we mentioned. Has Vladimir Putin completely closed the door, or is it Ed Snowden that's closed his own door in Russia?
You know, it appears now that Putin's speech yesterday aimed to dissuade Ed Snowden from applying to Russia for political asylum. He had, in fact, already submitted a request. That was something that wasn't public when Mr. Putin made his speech. But this has been a sort of balancing game that analysts and people around Putin have been trying to work out over the last few days. If he's seen to be refusing Ed Snowden protection, that would go over badly on a public level. However, if he accepts Snowden as a political asylum, that could cause ongoing problems that are unpredictable in nature with the United States.
Or option three, of course, is to do nothing, Ellen Berry. And now it seems that maybe Nicolas Maduro of Venezuela, hey, he's in Moscow and so is his plane, could just give a ride to Ed Snowden back to Caracas.
So that is a possible way out, and the number of ways out is not huge, so everyone's watching that fairly closely. But Mr. Maduro wouldn't commit today. He was a little bit evasive about his plans. He said he wasn't going to fly him back, in fact, today to Caracas, and again, sort of articulated moral support for him without giving any concrete, you know, further steps towards offering him asylum.
Well, Ellen Berry, Moscow bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, with us now in studio is Kimberly Martin, political science professor at Barnard College and Columbia University here in New York. For more on how this saga and this diplomatic limbo could impact U.S.-Russian relations. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi, Todd.
Thanks for being here. Let's start with Vladimir Putin and Edward Snowden's diplomatic limbo. There have been reporting over the last couple of days that when Edward Snowden arrived in Moscow, there was a great deal of media making, pop-up television shows that seemed to be laying the groundwork for Edward Snowden's popularity amongst the people in Russia that seemed to point to granting him asylum. He's a hero. He's our kind of guy. But that's not where this appears to be going.
No. And Vladimir Putin has to worry not just about appealing to the public in Russia, but about appealing to his personal informal politics network, which is based mostly on the power ministries, the old KGB, now the FSB. And Putin sent some very strong messages to that network. The first was that the FSB and the FBI have interests in common. He announced that the two presidents, Obama and Putin, had asked those agencies to get together to try to resolve this issue. And the FSB doesn't like leakers any more than the FBI does. We know what the KGB does to people who betray it. We remember the Litvinenko polonium poisoning in London a few years ago. That was sort of their message about if you betray us, this is what happens. They don't want betrayers on their territory either. The next message that Putin sent is that sovereignty is not at stake here, because a lot of Putin's domestic supporters like him for foreign policy reasons because he's brought back Russia as a great power that doesn't bow to anybody. But Putin has said sovereignty isn't at stake here. He's not in Russia. Snowden isn't in Russia. He's in this, you know, in-between land in the airport.
We don't have jurisdiction
there. We don't have jurisdiction. And the international lawyers kept on saying, but that's not true. Russia certainly does have jurisdiction. The reason that Putin said that, I think, is that he's sending messages to his domestic supporters that sovereignty is not at stake here. And the other thing to keep in mind is that in May, things changed between Putin and Obama because of an exchange of private letters. Obama sent a private letter to Putin with some suggestions for cooperation. Putin reciprocated and published this in the Russian newspapers before the summit meeting in Northern Ireland. And by doing that, Putin was sending the message that Obama is in now in his desire to have a personal network of reciprocity and good relations with Obama. So at this point, if Putin were to accept Snowden's bid for asylum in Russia, it would be a personal insult to Obama. So for all of these reasons, it made perfect sense that Putin would set this up in such a way that Snowden would not have any likelihood of staying in Russia.
How fascinating. So what we're seeing, instead of just sort of naked populist politics, is a lot of sub rosa relationships between at the top between Putin and Obama, but also solidarity among spies. Nobody likes leakers, and everybody in that community gets it. So what about Russia-U.S. relations? You mentioned this this ongoing dialogue between Obama and Putin. It now seems like Putin, from our perspective, or at least our government's perspective, has done us a solid.
Well, yes, and he's left himself open for some kind of a deal, and I wouldn't be surprised if part of the deal has to do with cooperation following the Boston Marathon bombing, because you'll remember that there was a complaint coming from some U.S. actors that the Russians hadn't done enough to share intelligence information. This is sort of an opening that says now the FBI and the FSB can work together in the future with support from the two presidents, and so this might be a way for U.S.-Russia relations to overcome the impasse that they've had in the past few years.
And yet the statement from Putin saying that he doesn't really have jurisdiction over the section of the airport appears to preclude what I'm sure American authorities, the FBI, would like, which is to go in there, render him, and get Ed Snowden. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, that probably will not happen. I would be very surprised
if
that happened. Because at that point, that does seem to impinge on Russian sovereignty. If you have foreign security agents coming onto what everybody agrees really is Russian territory.
Well, there is a fascinating window into the real politic of U.S.-Russia relations between Barack Obama, Vladimir Putin, and Vladimir Putin and his network in Russia. It's not just about what the people think. In fact, it doesn't appear to be about what the people think at all. Kimberly Martin, political science professor at Barnard College at Columbia University, thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.